Hey there, folks. Welcome to a brand new episode of Radio Free Nintendo, presented by NintendoWorldReport.com. Unfortunately, it's time to play a bit of good news, bad news, and usually the bad news is the reason why we're playing good news, bad news. And the bad news this week is that we have lost our episode, it would seem. You see, we recorded this giant 90-minute epic podcast. It was me, Obi, Johnny's friend Kevin, who was brought on because he has expertise in adventure games, and that was our feature. And then here's what happened. Basically, I pressed stop on the recorder, and my computer crashed. Yes, the long-held stereotype that Macs crash, well, sometimes it's true. So essentially, the show is lost, which is very unfortunate. I think it was a pretty good show, but hey, what are you going to do, right? So I was left with some options. I could cancel the show, or I could go out on a limb and, you know, try to cobble something together in time. And that's what this is, basically. It's a one-man show. You're only getting me, your host, Carl Castaneda, no Obi, no Johnny, no Johnny's friend Kevin, unfortunately, because Kevin's a cool guy. But, you know, I'm going to recap some of the stuff that we went over during the show, and actually also go into some stuff that we missed, because I did miss out on a couple new stories, and since we recorded, some new stuff has come out, so it's actually, in a way, more current, so I think you'll enjoy that. So let's start out with some new business. I put out a review just the other day for Bleach, The Blade of Fate. Not a bad game. I think I went over it last week. I gave it an 8.5. I think you'll very much enjoy it. But I got two new review games this week. I got Battalion Wars 2 on the Wii, and also on the Wii, Naruto Clash of Ninja Revolution. Now, first, I'm going to talk about Naruto. I reviewed the first Clash of Ninja game on the GameCube way back when. I think it was 2005, but I'm not sure. And good game. Really, I think Naruto games get kind of a bad rep because most of them are not good. But the Clash of Ninja series happens to be consistently solid and is actually considered by many fighting fans to be a serious franchise. Now, and I agree with that, absolutely. I did not review Clash of Ninja 2. I believe that was Mike Gammon. But I did play it, and I actually logged tons of hours into that, and I think it's a very good game. So Clash of Ninja 3 came in, and I have so far only played it with classic controls. I haven't tried out the motion stuff yet, but as for what I've played of the game so far, it seems very, very much like Clash of Ninja 2. Now, obviously, the fighting game style and, you know, the system is obviously going to be very similar, but so far, it just seems like the same game with some new characters, and the graphics seem to not even be improved, like, at all. They have added destructible environments in a way. It just seems like the old stages, but with rocks and logs put in there, which doesn't really add much. Also, you can now knock someone out of a stage. So say, like, you know, you take them to the edge, they're going to fly out. You'll have this little cutscene of you, you know, jumping through trees and shit, and then coming out on the side, and then the fight continues. Unfortunately, you can't skip that, so it does get a little annoying when it happens every single round. But I guess it's just the game loading the next stage, so whatever. Again, if you've never tried any of the Clash of Ninja games, they are a good series, and you would do well to try this out. Because even if you don't like motion controls, the classic controls are there, and in that respect, the game is definitely solid. And I can at least attest to that. The other game, like I said, is Battalion Wars 2. I honestly, so far, am not feeling too good about it. It's definitely, okay, I didn't play the first Battalion Wars, so I can't speak to if it's better than the sequel, or at least, you know, equal to it, but so far this one just seemed a little cobbled together, much like this episode, actually. First of all, that visually, it just seems kind of uninspired is the right word. Very bland. The explosions and effects look good, but the characters themselves seem to lack any real style. And I know, yeah, you know, you've got the Battalion Wars is kind of like this cutesy, very stylized look for what is essentially Ghost Recon. It's kind of, well, it's kind of Ghost Recon. But it just doesn't really feel cohesive. Also, like I say, really terrible, terrible voice acting. So annoying. Really, really bad. That's really bugs me. And the thing about it is that constantly while you're going through missions, they're having your commander issue you these step-by-step instructions, so it's really like you can't escape it. Luckily, you know, if you mute it, you can still read the text because it's at like a bar at the top of the screen, so that's always good. But really, you shouldn't have to do that. As far as the actual gameplay goes, I'm not the biggest fan of moving the camera and the reticle with the pointer. I've kind of adjusted my style of play so that my arm doesn't get tired. What I do is I sit backwards in a chair and rest my arm on the part where your back should be. So that kind of works for me, but still, it's not really optimal, and I kind of miss kind of like a twin-stick approach, so go figure. Also, one thing I don't really like about the game is that, at least in the early parts, there's like a constant interruption. See, you go through the tutorial, and you think that's it, but in the continuing levels, they constantly interrupt you by saying, this is how you do something. You go up to a flag, lock on with Z, press A, and you'll do this command, which is like raise a flag or taking a certain base, or et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine and all, but doing it in later levels kind of interrupts the flow of the game, which is already kind of chopped up, because what the game devolves into eventually is basically going from gold star to gold star. So, A, it is impossible not to know what you have to do next, because it's literally this gold, from this gold star to this gold star, and there is a one linear path. You really can't miss it. So in that respect, it's a very easy game, because it's pretty much laid out for you what you have to do. But still, it just feels like you don't really get a chance to immerse yourself, because you're constantly being like, hey, go over here, pause game, this is what you have to do to solve this objective, now do it. Then 30 seconds later, it's the same thing. Really hoping that changes. I have not tried out the online play yet, but I plan on doing that. So I know Mike Glenn's played it, and he, I think, I was there when he played the match, and he was okay. I think he lost the match, but it seemed like he was able to get into it, so I'm hoping that online play is better than the single-player campaign. Also, interesting to note, I was under the assumption that the game had, like, multiplayer aside from online. Maybe that was just something that I was wrong about, I don't know, but it kind of was disappointing that you can't, you know, have two players on the same system. Has to be online. And from what I understand, there's not even, like, LAN play, so that also kind of sucks. But, you know, what can you do, right? Another game that I picked up that I'm not reviewing, but just that I have, is Zack and Wiki, The Quest for Barbaro's Treasure. Should be said that I am not good at puzzles. I don't know, maybe I'm just not like a right brain or is it left brain thinker, but just not good at them. Doesn't mean I don't like puzzle games. I do like certain adventure games with puzzle aspects like Hotel Dusk. I enjoy the puzzles in Zelda, but even those I'm not really very good at. So, but still, Zack and Wiki just looked very intriguing to me. It looked like it was going to be very clever, and I was willing to give it a shot. It is a good game. If you're into puzzle games, you really can't go wrong with this one. The story and characters are kind of inconsequential and only really serve to be like, hey, this is the reason you're doing these puzzles, because you want to put together Barbaros again, which is basically like this master pirate, which is made up of gold pieces. I don't know, take it for what it's will, for what it is. But the game is good, the game is solid, the puzzles are really good, they are very, very hard. I am not good at the game at all, but I still do very much enjoy it. I was actually only able to get through the final section of the first world, which is a boss level. Kind of. I mean, it's not so much a boss because there's not really combat in the game, but what you do is you basically solve puzzles to distract the boss so that you can get to the treasure chest, which is the goal of the level. And I was actually only able to get through it because staff alumnus Dan Bloodworth was kind enough to give me the spoilers and help me through that puzzle. So thank you very much, Dan. So yeah, if you're into a puzzle game, you really can't get wrong with Zack and Wiki. Very quality title. Graphics are great. I know I complain a lot about Wii graphics on this show, but really, Zack and Wiki looks awesome. And I am a total whore for cel shading, and it is awesomely cel shaded. So, A plus for Capcom on that one. Really, something I want to make a point of is that a lot of people are talking about the Wii like it's not going to have a good holiday season. I mean, they're making it seem like Super Mario Galaxy is the only game coming out, and really, that's not true at all. I mean, you've got Zack and Wiki, okay, I'm hoping Battalion Wars turns out okay, but if not, then I guess you can scratch it off the list. You've got Fire Emblem coming out, and Fire Emblem we know is awesome. There's Umbrella Chronicles, been hearing good things about that game, so there you go. It's really, like, and then, oh, and then third-party stuff like Guitar Hero 3. Which actually Johnny got, and was talking about in the show that will never come out, but he likes it, so there you go. So you got that stuff, and so really, if you're a Wii gamer this holiday season, there's a good deal of stuff to choose from. I mean, there's not, like, an endless flow of games like you might find on the Xbox 360, but it's certainly comparable to the PS3, if not superior to the PS3. So I really gotta say that people who are saying there's something on Wii this holiday season really should rethink that. So there you go. Alrighty, guys, I think that ends our first segment. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick little break there so I can go to the bathroom and get something to drink. And when we come back, we're talking about the news, so stay tuned. Hey, folks, and we're back from that quick break. I've got myself a fresh can of Mellow Yellow, which, if you don't know, is like kind of like Mountain Dew, but way better. So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick drink of that. Ah, that's good. And let's head on over to NintendoWorldReport.com and see what they've got going on here. So let's go ahead and punch that into our little web browser. Safari's my browser of choice. And see what's on the front page. So we got some reviews, the forum Hot Topic Roundup by our new guy, James Jones. And, this looks like a good story. Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition hits milestone. It's now shipped 1 million copies. I think, what does it say to Capcom? Hey, Wii owners like hardcore games. Give us more Resident Evil. Downgraded RE5 port. I don't care. Maybe a new side story original game. That would be cool. We're already getting Umbrella Chronicles, so hopefully that'll sell well, too. Seems like, though, they're going to give us maybe a couple more ports. Okami's obviously coming out, and maybe if that sells well, they'll get the message, hey, hardcore games sell, give us more stuff. So yeah, good on you, Capcom, for hitting another milestone with Resident Evil 4. It must have sold something like, what, like 4-something million copies by now? Let's see, going to the page here. New Wii feature to allow virtual console gifting. Let's find out more about that. See, Wendy put up this story. Soon we'll be able to give the gift of classic gaming. Let's see. Details are sparse, but apparently users who receive and accept a game gift will have the Wii Shop channel on their console open automatically, at which time the game will start downloading. Iwata did not mention a time frame for the service to begin. That sounds kind of weird, because what if you already own the game? Do you download it twice? I don't know. Also, what if someone from a different region kind of gives you a game that you don't have yet? Do you get that region's game? Does it not accept? You know, how does that really work? If someone gives you a game from another region that you do have, do you get that region's version or your region's version? It's all very strange. But still cool. Still looking forward to that. Let's see what else is here on the front page. We got here. Capcom plans CG Resident Evil movie. We're just talking about Resident Evil a second ago. This sounds like it will probably not be good. I mean, Resident Evil isn't exactly known for its awesome story, and you know, the movies so far have been less than spectacular. Unless you're into Mila Jovovich's boobs, in which case, they are the movies for you. If your favorite part of The Fifth Element was her being naked, then hey, watch a couple of Resident Evil movies. Haven't seen the last. I didn't see Extinction, but I did see Apocalypse. Saw a little bit of the first one. Both feature boobs. So then again, hey, you know, whatever. This is that. The movies themselves are less than stellar, like I said. As for this, we know it's coming from Sony Pictures. Other than that, we don't really know. I think it's got a title. It's called Biohazard Degeneration. Probably will be named Resident Evil Degeneration for its North American release, of course. They can't call it Biohazard in the States because the band has the rights to the name. So yeah, as far as that goes, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Spore confirmed for Wii. Will Wright's Ultimate God game is heading to what he calls the only next-gen system. He recently had an interview with somebody. I think it was GameIndustry.biz, but I'm probably wrong about that. Anyway, so he says that, you know, he likes the Xbox 360 and the PS3 and stuff, but through the Wii's control method, he thinks it's the only real, quote-unquote, next-gen system. I'm doing air quotes with that. Personally, I think pigeonholing next-gen into, like, a phrase other than systems coming out between time frame X and time frame Y is just kind of silly. Generation doesn't denote power or concept, it's a time frame. So anything that comes out between November 22nd, 2005 and November, what date did the Wii come out in America? 19th, I think? Anyway, whatever. Between that, you know, the release of the Xbox 360 and the Wii, which had all three systems coming out, if you put out a system in that time, you are a next-gen system. That's just how it is. But getting actually to the actual news here, Spore is a game that I'm intrigued by. I've seen a lot of it, and I know the concept is basically that you take it from being like this singular organism, and then you become like, basically, you become like a colony, and then you can go out into space and do all this crazy stuff. Sounds ambitious. Definitely interesting. I'd like to see it actually work. But, you know, power to Will Wright for trying something new. Because I'm always interested in seeing what he comes out with next. And hey, it's coming to Wii, so we'll get to play it. Sweet. Ah, obviously there was big Smash Brothers news this week when they revealed that you're going to actually be able to design your own levels. We talked about this on the podcast, and Mike was happy about it, but he says that he's a little concerned that the levels kind of look, as he put them, shitty. It seems to be mostly made up of, like, crates and ladders, and I don't know, it doesn't really look like it's a real stage, basically. It looks very like, use these Lego blocks and make your own stage, but not really. Also, it'd be pretty cool if you can make it like your own dynamic backgrounds, kind of like how the Star Fox level has this whole battle going on in the background. I know that'd be kind of tough, and I don't really know how they do it at all, but hey, it'd be cool. Also, the big story here is that you can actually send them to friends. If someone has your Wii code and your Smash Brothers friend code, you can swap levels all you like, and actually, you can actually submit your custom-made levels to Nintendo. Every day they're going to pick one and basically send them out to everyone who would like one. So basically you've got like self-replenishing levels, which is really cool. So before we launch into our next break, I would be remiss if I did not mention this week's Virtual Console downloads. Let me just go ahead and find those here, since it's, of course, Hallow's Eve on the day that I'm doing this, and Halloween on the day, well, the day after Halloween. Actually, today is Halloween, the day I'm recording this. Huh, I am really out of date. Yeah, so it's a Halloween week. And we got three games here. First up, Castlevania II Simon's Quest on NES, which I understand is complete shite. Apparently, it's just no good. That's what I've heard. So, probably a recommendation. Well, probably not recommended, except for Chiron. Then we got Samurai Ghost on the TurboGrafx-16, which I've never heard of, and I'm going to assume no one else has either, because it's a TurboGrafx-16 game, But that also means that I don't know if it's good or bad, so hopefully we're going to cross our fingers and say hope for good. And finally, Magician Lord on Neo Geo. Surprisingly, not a fighting game. It's actually a side-scrolling platformer. So that's really cool. So that wraps up for Virtual Console Mondays. Head on over to the site to find out if they were any good or not. So I'm going to go ahead and take one more break, but when we come back, we're going to be wrapping the show up. Hey guys, and we're back from that second break. Usually this is the part where the feature happens, and much like last week, there is no feature. We did talk about point-and-click adventure games on Nintendo systems and off, and that's why we had Johnny's friend Kevin on the show, because he is a master of adventure games, as he so claims. And it's a pretty cool segment, actually. I think you guys would have really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, it is lost to the wonders of the Macintosh platform. Oh well, right? But if you're still craving for adventure game goodness, our buddies at Retronauts actually did a show on adventure gaming not too long ago. Or it was long ago. Not too long ago if you're just looking at their episode log, though. Should be probably, I don't know, just a few episodes in the past, since they take about 3 months between shows. Really good episode. I think you guys will really enjoy it. And probably way better than our discussion. So there you go. So I guess I'll go ahead and do my little wrap-up as always. You can send all of your emails, whether they be questions or comments or concerns or you yelling at us irately about being rectum raiders. All of that stuff goes on to rfn@nintendoreport.com. Then head on over to iTunes and subscribe, leave a review if you so wish, I'd really appreciate it. Then you head on over to Dig at dig.com/podcasts /radio_free_Nintendo_MP3. I always like seeing fresh digs on our show, so I would very much appreciate that. And I guess that kind of ends the show, doesn't it? You know, I just thought it would be really, you know, special for you guys to get a show, and for me not to just kind of do a cop-out and say, sorry, and, you know, see you next week. So I hope you guys have enjoyed getting a show of some sort. I know this is probably the shortest episode ever of Radio Free Nintendo, but, like I said, better to get a show than no show at all, right? Alrighty, guys. Oh, one more thing. If you are a member of the Nintendo World Report forums, and if you're not, I recommend that you become one. Head on over to NWR Discussion, which is at the bottom of the forum page, and enter in our NWR forum user poll. We want to know what you like about Nintendo World Report, what you don't like, what you wish to see more of, what you want to see less of, and so on and so forth. It's very vital in continuing the growth and the betterment of the site, so we would very much appreciate that. And at this point, I guess I'm really stalling for time, because I want to hit that crucial 25-minute mark. I think that's a good point. So how can I make this any longer? Nah, forget it. Why put you guys through the suffering, right? You probably had enough, probably had more than enough of me than you can probably already handle. So see you next week for hopefully a full and complete and error-free Radio Free Nintendo. Oh, almost forgot. Password. The password was originally, I believe, The Last Express, which is based on some old adventure game that Obi played when he was like 5, blah, 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 who cares. The password now is Solo, as I'm doing this solo, as I am the only staffer up at 8:40 a.m., at least Eastern Standard Time, and the only one crazy enough to do this show alone, right? Alrighty, guys. I think I'm actually closing in on that 25 minutes, so awesome. See you next week, folks, and have a great day. Stalling for time for about 5 seconds. Just want to get to the end. 25 minutes and done.